only one that had a massive boost, but I think those are guys looking for the end of the world with, and need some extra frequencies or something. They tend to only have tech licenses, and they're more concerned with emergency measures than anything else. So it's curious. I don't know. I wouldn't hold my breath. I saw the travesty that the last attempt was, and I assume it's going to be worse now. The Congress is in a very strange mood these days.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Congress just seems to have no connection with what the public wants. My HOA, actually, so one board member is a ham, and the other was a radio operator, flight engineer, radio operator in a C-130 in Vietnam. Made a very reasonable proposal to allow us to set up an antenna at the clubhouse, but I really haven't pursued it very much because the noise level from all the electronics, especially over there, is so high. I just don't. I'm just not sure I see the point to it. Go ahead.
Well, you're in a better position than most people are with HOAs. Most of the people running them would like to run some kind of third world country as tightly as possible. Almost none of them have any attachment to amateur radio, and they would like everything to look the same, be the same, and then nothing to be pointy sticking out of any place. So you're in a better HOA than most people are, from what I've heard.
Yeah, well, I do the same thing here. They wouldn't let anybody put satellite dishes on their balcony, saying that, well, they couldn't power wash the building then. They never power wash the buildings anyway. And that is blatantly illegal to prevent people from putting up TV antennas. And the HOA bylaws say that specifically that radio antennas are not permitted. As I said, they are open to a reasonable compromise. I listened on an HF set in my unit here, and the noise level was so high, I couldn't even hear anything on the AM, ordinary AM radio, so I'm like, screw this, if this thing's going to work. If the other guy wants to pursue it, I'll make chip in some money through it and see what happens. But you are exactly right on that point.
Yeah, it's a shame, but that's the way things seem to be settling out. HOAs. There's that push-pull that always happens. People want more rules and regulations, and other people want less rules, less regulations, and everyone's left unhappy. And so it continues. Well, I certainly wish you luck with your situation. If it's noisy, better to have a noisy antenna than no antenna at all. Compromise, unfortunately, is the key word for all of us living in urban environments. We wanted to have a perfect system. We would kind of live out in the country, have a couple of acres for an antenna farm, and put up a lot of 200-foot towers. That would be nice.
Yeah, right. I found the best solution so far is to, rent stations for a couple of minutes a day online. And ideally finished by then DSCC that way. I mean, it's pretty lame, but it's no more lame than getting on from an apartment and being kicked off the air 10 minutes later because people are complaining about their TV sets and whatnot. So, that's been my sort of solution for the last couple of years anyway. Go ahead.
AC2GS. Well, ultimately, whatever works for you, if that works for you, that's fine. I look at the prices and I say it's very easy to waste a lot of money doing that, or spend a lot of money doing that. So whatever works, it's all a compromise one way or the other.
Yeah, it is. I got on a 17-meter FT8 last night and suddenly had a whole bunch of stations all over Europe calling me. I worked a few of them, and then I kind of looked at the clock and said, screw this, it's just going to cost me too much money to stay on, and just shut it off. But there's just like almost no such thing as like unrestricted ham radio out over the years. No matter what you do, there's going to be a compromise somewhere. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sure if the Unabomber wanted to do ham radio when he was out there in the woods with a generator or something, I don't think anyone would restrict him and survive it. So I'm sure there are these little islands where you could just make believe you're the only one there and do whatever you want. It's when you join the community of man that you have to make adjustments to have everyone be comfortable.
I hear you on that. You probably heard me. I actually do have an invite for 2024 to go to a remote island in the Pacific to do the CQ Worldwide contest. I haven't heard from those guys lately. That project might have fallen apart. It's tempting, but it's one of these places where like you can't get there from here. It's 3,000 miles from Honolulu, 1,500 miles to Sydney, and putting the cost aside, I'm like, do I really want to go that far to do a DX contest?
Yeah, I know what you're feeling. I have always been interested in the space program when I was a little kid. I used to send away for every piece of free brochure material from NASA. But you wouldn't get me on a rocket ship to Mars if you paid me to go. Better yet, if I had to pay to get on Elon's cramped little rocket that so far only explodes on a launch pad.
Well, you know, like the Falcon 9, I think it will eventually work and work quite well. It bothers me that the guy buddies up with the Trumpist victors, and with Putin, et cetera. But I kind of understand the business case for doing that. I do find what Bezos is doing very interesting. Is what he's doing with his suborbital launches. It's just essentially an R&D program, but he's found a way to monetize an R&D program rather than it being entirely cost-centric, entirely a money stick. Found a way to monetize it by taking people for rides on what are essentially suborbital test flights. That's rather clever. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I find that Bezos is a relatively sane businessman, and Elon isn't. Elon's got a lot of psychological problems. Recently, I listened to an interview where he told two interviewers that he originated artificial intelligence, which only a raving lunatic would honestly say. So either he's a liar or he's a madman. The reason he gave was, I guess, because he was one of, I think, 15 people who invested in OpenAI at the very beginning. But that doesn't really mean that he had anything to do with artificial intelligence, which started before OpenAI became a business. So Elon's a little squirrely.
Especially somewhere on the autism spectrum, but I'm not an expert, and it's just my guess.
Yeah, that was another scam he pulled. He announced that he was the first autistic MC of Saturday Night Live, except that there's no record anywhere where he was ever diagnosed as being autistic. And I don't think he's autistic. He has other problems, but I don't think they're autism.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, there are a lot of people who, have some Asperger's traits, et cetera, who aren't formally diagnosed. So, you really don't know. And, there's no reason for anybody to say. I think part of the problem is, his approach to engineering is the same way he did software. That you try it, and when it blows up, it doesn't work. When it crashes, just try again. That's the way he did software, his software businesses, and he does his space businesses the same way. And there are just, a lot of, and it's a different kind of business.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, he grips people very well. That's his particular expertise. He's not a great programmer. He's not a great production guy. He's not a great anything other than gripping people and talking investment bankers into giving him billions of dollars and never returning any return on it. He's done all kinds of curious, interesting things out there. As far as I'm aware, he did kind of two software things in his entire career. They wrote articles about how he sold a game to a magazine, software magazine, except that it was a game that he plagiarized. And the other thing that he did software was the company that got bought up by the company that eventually changed his name to PayPal. And they decided to buy him up and use him as a programmer until his code was found to be useless, and then they kicked his ass off of that company, changed the name to PayPal, and the rest is history, and yet he still keeps telling people that he's a founder of PayPal, which he never was. He also tells people he was a founder of Tesla, which he never was. He lies about a lot of founding stories.
Well, I guess that's why he gets along so well with Donald Trump, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's looking for people to love him. It's rather obvious. That's why he bought Twitter. He wants to be the king of the memes. He wants to be the cool guy, and he's kind of lost the left. So he figures he could grift the right. So he's grifting the right. He's handing Twitter over to them as much as he can, because he's already pissed the left off. So there are the crypto bro, tech bro, Elon is a god, he's Iron Man reborn, and then you have the right who thinks that they could grift off him. Well, he grifts off them.
Yeah, I've kind of mostly stopped using Twitter. I'm still on there a little bit. I was using it some to, post stuff for my retirement business, and people would actually read it and retweet it for a while. And once Musk messed up the place, it's like, oh, what you're... Anything I post essentially ignored. Nobody wants to look at anything that's of any actual value now. So I just stopped bothering to post there. I'm just kind of keeping all my my business stuff on LinkedIn, where people actually want to see stuff related to business.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's dying, and that blue check is anathema. It's terrible. But just as a businessman, he has so many weird business practices. He's not paying rent on any property that Twitter is using. So everyone is starting to sue him. he's not paying Google for the server rack that he's using for some applications that Twitter relies on. I think that was the reason why DeSantis's announcement that he was running was screwed up, because it runs on hardware based in Google and they have to pay the bills. So just as a businessman, I don't understand how you could get away with avoiding all of your contracts. That's usually something that ends up destroying a business. But, you know, I guess if you pay lawyers enough, somehow you get away with it, at least for the short haul.
Yeah, speaking of Google, you mentioned earlier, I want to see if I understood right, that you don't think that the Google Net Wi-Fi will work with the Verizon Fios?
You can use it as a bridge. And in other words, keep your Fios router and bridge it to the mesh, but as a primary router, no, because Verizon is very proprietary. They have a certain protocol to get in there that is specific to their routers, and they keep access to the password. If you could change your password, it doesn't make any difference. They can reset it at the central office. So it's a different animal. You can use it as a bridge, but not as the primary router that Fios expects you to have.
Oh, okay, that's good to know. So far, here in the Northeast Philadelphia location, a few miles from the infamous I-95 collapse, by the way, I ditched Comcast, and, okay, good night, and I went to, ditched Comcast and went to Fios. So Fios is far from perfect. I'm a lot happier with them than I was with Comcast. I did have an issue when they went and stuck in their big router. They stuck it on my nightstand in the master bedroom, which I'm very annoyed with because I use that space and stuff. I have an old computer I use on the other side of the house with only an old Wi-Fi in it. So I connect it with an Ethernet cable, and they didn't want to run an Ethernet cable through the house for me. They ultimately, when they saw that my computer didn't work without it, the guy just kind of grumbled and got permission to use a couple of feet of Ethernet cable from his office and ran it for me, and it's actually worked quite well. But that was annoying, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, different service providers have different skill sets. I was never impressed by cable companies. When I first had my house cabled, I thought it was rather simple. I ordered two cable ports. One I wanted on my VCR. It was that long ago. The other one was supposed to go to the TV set, so I could watch one channel while I recorded the another on my VCR. Again, I didn't think that was particularly special. It confused the heck out of the technician to the point where I just told them the length of wires that I needed, and I connected them myself. So I've never been a fan of some technicians. But, you know, it depends. I like the Fios. It's relatively reliable. It goes out a couple times a year, maybe, but I call them up, and they reboot it from the central office, and everything is peachy-keen. So they were just a bit of annoying when I called them up a while ago and asked them if I could upgrade to a higher speed without replacing all the hardware. And they said initially, yes, of course you can. And then when I got the details, I had to replace all the hardware. So that's the idiot on the phone. So there's idiots who are technicians. There are idiots who are on the phone. So that's what you got to deal with these days.
Yeah, for my purposes, my speed is much better and more reliable than with Comcast. My luck is going to fall flat tomorrow. Any issues I have are more related to that I'm using an old computer, I think, than to the files. Yeah, and the test, the way he set it up, the router, the kind of a nest of cables there, and, it's very easy, the cable gets very easily unplugged. That's kind of annoying. He did a lousy job of that, but overall I've been satisfied with it. I didn't get any cable boxes from them, by the way. I just went to got the Google TV streaming and do everything through streaming TV. No boxes anymore. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do that with YouTube TV, and I have an Apple TV as a plug-in to the television. It works fine with me. The big problem on a technical basis I have with Comcast and things that run that way is they're shared internet connections. So what's happened, at least unless they changed it very recently, you share that speed connection with a couple of families. So if your next door neighbor likes Netflix High Res, has five TV sets running different ones, they're going to suck up most of the bits. So I never liked the shared speed system that the cable companies implemented.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if they run the ad in the New York market, but Fios runs an ad here where they talk about how... I think it's Comcast runs an ad here claiming that Fios, is running a shared internet connection and that other people are going to slow you down and go to them, and which, of course, is totally deceptive. The situation is just the opposite, as you said. It's Comcast that wants to share connections, not Fios. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a shame when companies have to boldface lie. Probably the way that they twist the words is, we weren't talking about other families. We were talking about other people in your house. And then the response would be, what about other people in my house with your connection? Wouldn't it slow down? To which they'd say, yeah, but we weren't really addressing that aspect.
If anybody challenges it with the FTC and says this is deceptive advertising, they probably have it very carefully scripted so it's not technically deceptive. After all, they're not political candidates. They do have to answer for deceptive advertising.
I mean, everyone has their lawyers. And usually, if you pay them enough, if they're good enough lawyers, they do amazing things. I give you Disney as example A, B, and C. It's kind of amazing. They can't seem to make a decent movie anymore, but they certainly can out-lawyer everyone else.
Yeah, well, what do you want? The Florida situation is just crazy. You have DeSantis. I think that's what you're kind of talking about, is the war between DeSantis' lawyers and Disney's lawyers, which is, like, totally silly. I mean, trying to screw over the third biggest employer in his state to score political points with some small group, some increasingly small base. Anyway, it's getting late, I actually have to get up and work on a small contract job. I accepted from somebody as a favor. Anyway, so I'm going to have to call it quits for a few minutes. Firstly, Roy, fun talking to you. And I will, as usual, try to be on next week. WB2BX.
Likewise, always a pleasure. And one of these days, I'm going to start handing out T-shirts to say, "No good deed goes unpunished." Words to live by. So have a great week, Frank. Hopefully, we'll talk again next Sunday. And have a great field day.
my local club, thank you. Yeah, my local club isn't going. The guys are, you know, I'm like the youngest guy in the club. I know you got a couple of younger guys in KCRC, so I guess you guys will be out there. And the other newest club is Philmont, and they said, well, you can come as guests. So I don't know, if somebody wants to give me a ride out there, maybe I'll go. I may wind up sitting it out this year. But thanks, WB2BXO. Have a good night.
Okay, very good. Thanks. It's an interesting thing to be the youngest guy in the group. When I remember, unfortunately, when my father passed away, I was 19 years old, and I went to shul there and in the neighborhood. And, of course, I was the youngest guy in the shul. And the next youngest guy, I think, was 69 years old. So, yeah, sometimes it's nice to be the youngest guy.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't want to go in on this, but I remember when I was a kid and I'd get picked up by the guys from the radio club, and my parents would be, what, your friends are our age? And you know what? The guys in the radio club are still my mother's age. She's 97 now. Nice, WB2BX.
Yes, indeed. It's interesting demographics, our club. I mentioned to people that one day I want to watch a video of a hamvention or a hamfest that looks more like Comic-Con than the waiting room of a geriatric doctor's office.
And with that, have a good night, boys.
Okie doke. Good night. Good night to anyone listening in. And be well, and this is AC2GS once again, clear.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Clear temperature, 64 degrees.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 4:55 a.m. Mostly clear. Temperature 64 degrees.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 5:01 a.m. Mostly clear. Temperature 64 degrees.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 6 a.m. Mostly sunny. Temperature 60 degrees.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 7 a.m. Partly sunny. Temperature 64 degrees. Thank you.
W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 7:55 a.m. Sunny. Temperature 67 degrees.
W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
W2VAV is listening.
W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
AE2QR is listening.
Good morning. The time is 10:55 a.m. Mostly sunny. Temperature 74 degrees.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
And, you know, the hard part's over already.
Well,
Well, like I said, I don't mind sitting in the back. I don't mind sitting in the front. I don't mind sitting in the middle. In fact, I like the emergency exit seats because I've got a little more room to stretch out my feet. But it is what it is. I just prefer to drive than fly if I can.
Yeah, I think you mentioned something about that last week, as I recall. But I understand, but don't always have that option. I went to Australia once. Driving was definitely not an option.
Not unless you're driving a submarine.
A submarine? First of all, a submarine is not driving. And secondly, you've spoken like someone who never had a rack on a boomer.
All I'm going to say is, you can go by boat, you can go by submarine, but you're not driving to Australia, no.
I think if you ever had to do a voyage on a submarine, you would rethink that.
Well, I've been on them, just not underwater on them, so, just a tourist.
You've been on them securely tied to the dock, or have you been on a submarine in the open ocean on the surface?
I've been on the USS New York, which is not a submarine, but it's the newest one from made out of steel from, I think, the Rome Grade or whatever it was. And I've also been on a submarine, but it was in the New York Harbor many years ago. It was an ex-Columbus thing where we had our ceremony on board, and then they brought it downstairs and had lunch and everything else, but it never went underwater.
Yeah, but when a submarine is underwater, you don't get the rocking and rolling that you get when it's on the surface. Submarines are not the most seaworthy vessels, and the older diesel subs spend most of their time on the surface. The nuclear subs spend almost all their time at sea submerged, and that causes its own issues. Now, listen, I'm here for about 2 minutes. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. You still going to be around?
I should be indeed. I'm trying to get my friends to work. All of a sudden, it's switched out and it doesn't want to work at all.
Yes, they are evil. And they look for ways to sabotage you. All right, I'll be right back. WB2 Yibby. And WB2 EAV is back. That was everything. Fairly weak signal, fairly low audio. Is that you, Bob KAG? I'm not even sure.
Yes, it was, but I am dealing with my evil printer.
Well, you go and show it who's boss. I'm fine. And just to make it official, let me announce WB2EAV. It is actually listening.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
N2RQ. N2RQ. KD2FIU calling. N2RQ. N2RQ. KD2FIU calling.
W2OSR mobile.
Okay, this is N2RQ. 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 KD2FIU calling.
Yeah, how are you?
my signal level and audio coming in on your end? Okay, the audio sounds fine. Give me a moment, I'll go over to the input. See, it's not so easy on this radio. This is the 706. No, you sound fine. You don't sound too good. Take two aspirin and call me in the morning. Ha ha. Okay, I've just been going through reading some of the field day rules and stuff like that. I got to take care of some other stuff here. Have you progress aside from enjoying the radio? N2RQ, KD2FIU, can you meet me on the other transceiver that we were on a minute ago? Yeah. Do that. N2RQ. KD2FIU. N2RQ. N2RQ. KD2FIU. Calling.
W2VL repeater.
Good afternoon. The time is 1:55 p.m. Partly sunny. Temperature 79 degrees.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
KD2FIU. KD2FIU.
KA2UTF, hey George.
How is my signal level and audio coming in on your end?
Well, the signal level is good, I think, but the audio, it wasn't you. I would say the audio is fine, but your audio is usually sparkling, and it's different.
Well, you don't sound too good. Take two aspirin and call me in the morning.
I'll take a bottle and call you tonight.
Yeah, Gary, that was all voice-recorded messages in the radio. Yeah, they do sound a little bit different. No, this is not a voice-recorded message. This is me, but I was trying to get the voice-recording operations to work here on this IC-7000.
Roger, I detected the difference, and I hear that you're up here doing your normal audio now. By and large, I'd say it's working well.
Very interesting, this radio, the amount of things it does. And of the three ICOM all-band, all-modes, the Mark IIG, the 7000, and the 7100, the 7000 is by far the better HF transceiver, without a doubt. I was on HF yesterday with it and last night, and what it can do on HF, the other ones cannot.
Dual mode, all band, that radio?
Yeah, pretty much so. HF 6, 2, and 70 centimeters. The I have the 7100 also, which is, it's better on 2 meters and 70 centimeters. The 7100 is better. But on HF, it's kind of terrible because if you're rolling the VFO up and down a band on the low bands on HF with the 7100, all of the receive sounds like birdies. And on the 7000, it doesn't. It doesn't. You hear, you're going by the signals and you're hearing them clearly. Also, the 7000 by far has a much superior band scope. It's in color. It has features for bandwidth and height of it. It also has speed. It has spot. It has hold. It has fixed features. The other two radios, it's really not even a band scope to speak of, although it is there on the Mark IIG and the 7100. But the 7000 is, by and large, a better HF radio.
USL, but the recording feature, what is it copy to? Capture the loop, like 30 seconds or...
You could record off the air for up to 2 minutes. And I forgot what the total recording time is available on receiving off the air. Recording outgoing messages, four of them are available to be filled at 90 seconds each. However, a CQ is anywhere from, or a call out on FM is anywhere from 4 to 15 seconds. Depending upon how much information you want to put in there. Like KD2FIU is about 3 to 4 seconds.
Sounds like fun. It's got the so-called waterfall, right?
Yes, but it's not present continuously. You got to touch a button to get it to come up on demand. And it has a lot of features to it. And you can touch up, you can actually program it so that you don't have to go into the menu to get to the waterfall. You can program either one of your band up and down switches and hold them for a second, a solid second, and the waterfall will start running without you changing bands. So the band switches for going up and down the bands, there's two of them. Which are the stacking register switches, you can program them to hold them for 1 second to do other functions.
How's it once you get the hang of it, you can do quite a bit. That's great. Is the 7000 older than the 7100 in terms of when it was issued?
KD2, FIU. Yeah, 2005 to 2013, and in 2014, the 71K